Good morning. I am not on the ball this morning. Good morning. It's so good to see everybody. I don't have any special words of wisdom this morning. I just want to say thank you for coming to worship the Lord. And we're just praying that your hearts are open, your minds are open, and that you're just willing to welcome the Spirit, willing to lift your hands in praise and lift your voices, because that's all He wants from us. You know, our praise is a good smelling incense to Him, and He loves it. And so He's loving to bless us when we worship. So, good morning, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just thank you for the privilege to come and worship today. Lord, we thank you for the freedom to come and worship today. Lord, we pray that this service is committed to you, Lord. Let the worship bless you and bless your heart, Lord, and let your words be spoken. And Lord, we just pray these things in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen.
Overwhelming. never interrupt on the first song. However, I'm just going to tell you, that line that says he'll leave the 99 to come after you, is that what it says?
Hold on. Wait.
Huh? Yeah, he leaves the 99. That means 100. 100 is the number. And let me tell you. Okay, Pastor and I are silly like this. We like to watch competitive things. And people put their hands in, they pull out, and then everybody shows the rock, and whoever gets the gray one versus the blue or the red one is out of the competition. This is not a competition. Everybody is number 100. All of us are 100. He leaves the 99 for you, and you, and you, and me. All of us, we're all number 100. Now, if you knew somebody loved you that much to leave 99 other people to come after you, wouldn't that kind of like make your heart turn? Like in a good way, like, whoa, he's coming after me. I must be pretty important. You are so important to him. So let's reciprocate back, huh? Let's leave everything that we have faced this week. Every heartache, every brokenness, every chain, everything that we have that has bound us, drop it. Let it go. He comes to break the oppressive yoke off of us. Come to him with openness, with your whole heart, because he's coming after you. And if he can't get you this way, he'll come after you in another way. But just reciprocate back to him. He loves you so much. He planned today for you. It's your day. It's my day. It's all of our day. Amen? Let's do it again. Let's sing it again. No.
Still you give yourself away. longer a slave. My church sings a song.
Rescued me, now I can stand and see. Yes, Lord, we need a fresh fire burning in our hearts today. It's so easy for life to quench your fire. Situation and circumstances that seem to come against us seem to douse the flames. Father, we're asking for a fresh fire. We're asking for the Spirit to break out. Holy Spirit, one dwelling in us, we ask you to break out. Break the walls down. Break the barricades down. Break everything down that's kept us from receiving everything that the Lord has for us. Do what you do, Lord. Do what you want to do, Lord, in us. We give you permission. We give you permission, Lord, to work in us. We give you permission to work in our hearts and work in our lives, Lord. We say we need you, God. We need you, Lord. Now more than ever, we need you, Lord. We confess our need for God today. We confess our need for the Lord to work in our lives in a supernatural way. Do what you do, Lord. Do what you do, Lord. We give you permission to do whatever you want to do in our lives, Lord. Whatever you need to do in our lives, Lord. We give you full permission, God. Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit, work. Work in this place. Work in our hearts. Work in our lives. We surrender and we yield to the work of the Holy Spirit here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we do that one more time? Spirit, break out. Done in our lives on earth as it is in heaven. Let your desires be done in our lives, Lord, on this vessel, on this earth, as it is in heaven. Let the kingdom of heaven fill us to overflowing. Spirit of God, work in our hearts and our lives. We give you full permission. In Jesus' name. All the Lord's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, team. Go ahead and greet someone. You can get some coffee and praise the Lord. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Good morning. If you guys would stand with me, we are going to do our declarations for the city. This is where we speak life over our city, over our great valley that God is blessing. Amen. We're going to say this together in unison. And again, this is This is an opportunity for us to posture our hearts towards heaven and towards how God sees our city. And so if you guys can say this with me on the count of three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for our valley. And I just pray blessings upon blessings, Lord, over every person that calls this place home. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are outpouring your love, your mercy, your grace over the Yakima Valley. And we just thank you, Jesus, that there is hope for our city, God. We thank you, Jesus, that there is a blessing in our city, God. And I just pray right now, Father, that we would have new eyes, fresh eyes on how we see our valley, Lord, how we see the place that we call home, and that we would be a blessing wherever we go. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You guys can be seated. Real quick before I get into this announcement, as we were making that declaration, if you don't know, Nancy works at the Union Gospel Mission, and I previously worked at the Union Gospel Mission, so we got to work with some beautiful people that live on the streets. And I don't know how often you guys think about that, but there are a lot of individuals, let me say it this way, there are a lot of God's sons and daughters that are on the streets. We don't know all their stories. We don't know why they're there. Some of it is by their own doing. Some of it, it's not. This morning I was reminded, I took a quick walk. I made coffee and I just took a quick walk in our street. And it was about 7:30 and it was 19 degrees. And I was cold. I was in a coat and dressed and I was cold. And my mind immediately went to, our friends that sleep out there. And so this is just a quick plug for if you're looking for a way to give back this season, the mission is always looking for donations for gloves, for coats, for hats. And if you want, you could just take them there. Or if you want to connect with Nancy and myself, we would love to be that liaison for the mission. And we would bless some people that don't have a home. Especially this winter, because it gets pretty gruesome. People lose limbs every year because of frostbite. People die out there. And again, it's easy to forget because it's like we're in our safe homes, you know, and we don't go downtown very much, so we don't even think about it. But it's our job, you know. We can't solve all the world's problems or all the city's problems, but we can do a little bit, amen. And so I just want to put that quick plug out there, and you can talk to Nancy or myself about that. All right, so this upcoming Saturday, we're having our men's breakfast. So men, we're going to meet here at the church downstairs at 8:30, and we are going to just gather together and have some food and have some fellowship. We have somebody coming to share a word, and it's just going to be a great time. And so all men are invited, and if you have a man in your life, a coworker, brother, your dad, whoever that wants to come and just fellowship, they're more than welcome. This is a free event, and if you have any questions, you could talk to myself or Pastor Mike. So that's next week. And then I think, the last thing is just thank you guys for giving to sowing into this house, sowing into what God's doing in this place. You could give online or you can give. We have a box up here, a box in the back. And we just appreciate so much, not just for you giving out of routine, but for you giving from your heart and you giving from a joyful place. You giving from a generous place. And we just thank you for that. And so we bless the tithe, bless the offering in Jesus' name. And Moses is going to share. So, Moses.
Thank you. God bless you all today. And as last time I shared with you guys, just want to give you guys an update with my sister. You know, we got together as a family, and my sister gave us the news of what the doctor's report is. You know, and I guess it's... in our carnal lives, it's not good, you know. they said she had stage four, you know, so they're not going to. So as a family, we're getting together, see what kind of treatment we can give and stuff. So, yeah, you know, but everything is in God's hands, you know. You know, and as we got together as a family, we started praying, and I started praying there, and I want to share what happened. You know, as I was praying there in my home, you know, me and my wife were praying for the family, and I felt this peace just come over me. And it was just, it was a peace, you know. Here we are getting this news that, you know, 4 to 6 months, you know, and, you know, all, you know, hearing all that, you know, it takes you back. It's life, you know, it kicks you. It's a punch in the gut, you know. And so I got down on my knees and I started praying. And then I could clearly hear the voice of the Lord says, "She's in my hands." And this peace came over me. Like, I couldn't believe. I'm like, but the crazy part about it was what was the Lord said next and showed me. He goes, "Pray for them." And he showed me a group of people. I'm like, whoa. He says, "Pray for them." So is it better to, you know, what's worse, being sick in the body or being sick in the soul, so sick in your spirit? You know, our bodies are going to perish. They're going to, you know, we all have an expiration date. We all do. But how are you with God? How's your soul? How's your spirit? How's your spiritual life? That's what hit me. And I started praying for those people. And I was like, whoa. It hit me hard. I'm like, whoa. You know, like the Lord said, you know, he saw the fields were ready for harvest, but the laborers were few. You know, that's what we are. You know, like Eric just shared here, we don't know the story of the people that are out there, their story, you know. But you have to have a heart of Jesus to feel that, to feel that hurt, that pain, that need. We've all been there. You know, I don't want to, you know, hearing that news, yeah, you take a step back. You're like, whoa, you know, it's my little sister, you know. But in my spiritual eyes, I saw her. I'm like, whoa, she's whole. She's whole. And the Lord revealed to me these people that weren't spiritually whole. And I said, man, that's worse off than this flesh dying. You know, because, and just wanted to share that bit with you guys. Keep our family in prayer. We are going through some tough decisions we're going to have to make. My sister is still in good spirits. We got together and prayed for her. And like I said, she's in very good spirits. She's filled with the Holy Ghost. As some of you may not know, she does have Down syndromes. But I say she's been worshiping God since she was born. She was born with the spirit of worship 24/7. She's the embodiment of worshiping the Lord 24/7. She wakes up singing and goes to bed singing. And she knows the Lord. And that's what's comforting to me. And I just wanted to share that bit. Like I said, just keep our family in prayer. We're going to be going through some decisions that we have to make. I believe Gina just told me the appointment was this Tuesday. And see what we can do. They say the treatments are out of the question, chemo's out of the question, and all that kind of stuff. So, but just keep us in prayer. And with that, I'll pass it over to.
Well, we believe you're going to have the mind of Christ, the wisdom of heaven, to know exactly what to do, what kind of decisions to make. Thank you. Here you go, babe.
Oh, you're going to have to hold on.
Oh.
Thank you.
Well, it's been a while since Gay and I have sat here.
Together.
Together. The Lord, I think it was during the summer sometime, wasn't it? That
I don't remember. It's been so long.
Put on my heart to start sharing myself. And
by yourself.
Yeah, and it has been good. It's been It's been very fulfilling and rewarding. And even though I was stepping out of the boat, you know, and there was some trepidation, he has been very faithful. And I believe that he can be faithful in all of our lives beyond all we could even ask or think, that he can work in such a way that can blow us away, that we'll actually be not necessarily surprised, but amazed at what he does. And today I've been sharing on equipped for war. I was watching a video on YouTube, and it's I don't know if you've ever heard the show. It's Unbelievable. And they do interviews with different individuals. Sometimes it's with Christians, and it's about different topics that we face today. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard of C.S. Lewis, but he's a very, very famous writer. A lot of times people will quote him. He's kind of known as one of the very first Christian apologists in our era. And there have been others, but he actually is the one who wrote Narnia's Chronicles, you know, the Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote other famous works. One of his real famous works is Mere Christianity, which I haven't read yet, but after listening to it, I've decided to read it. Well, this whole thing was on, basically, is C.S. Lewis still relevant? So they had an individual that goes to Oxford University over in the Great Britain area, and she was communicating as a Christian, what C.S. Lewis meant to her. And she was an atheist, and then had become a Christian. And then they had a Christian, or a person who was a Christian, and now is an atheist. And as I listened to him, and I actually sent it to Jesse, I listened to him and I said, something's missing. Everything was about what was written down. The Bible as every word and every nuance. But not the spirit, and not the spirit of the word. Not, you know, Jesus said something radical. He said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and they are life. And it says that unless we have a spiritual mind, the word of God is foolishness. And that's the way he was talking about. It's foolish. You got all these contradictory things. And what he was saying is contradictory was basically, to me, the mystery of God. And so as I was pondering that this weekend, I think it was on Friday, I was out working a little bit in the yard, and I just started thinking about, you know, the time of season that we're in right now. You know, how many know that, you know, after Labor Day now, you go to a store and all of the Christmas stuff's out? You know, it used to be like after Thanksgiving, then it worked its way to after Halloween, and then I think it was they got another date in there, but now it's like I'm surprised they just don't leave them all year round at this point, because it seems like they want to get those Christmas buys in. But I thought about, you know, the idea of joy to the world, that the Lord has come, and what that means for us as believers, and the idea that joy is something that we get to live with, we get to experience. And so I wanted to share on that today, and I asked Gay if she would join me, and she said she would. So let's go ahead and get started. That's a little guy doing an announcement there. Joy to the world. It's all based on the idea of what we read about in the book of Luke. And let's go ahead and go to that. And do you want to read, Bay?
Sure.
Okay.
Luke 2:8-11, and this is the New King James Version. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
So this is the great, great proclamation that comes to these shepherds that are in their field by night. And it's saying, don't be afraid. I bring you, some translations say, good news, almost like gospel, of great joy, which will be to all people. It's not just for us. It's for all mankind. I was thinking about that. How, you know, some translations say all the world, mm-hmm. that this is good news for everyone. And, you know, some of us think, well, that's good news if you're a Christian. But I think what has happened is because Christ came, the world is much more safer place. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's actually people done studies that before Christianity, there was just total upheaval all the time. And yeah, I know we have wars and rumors of wars, but it just seems that now that Jesus has come, the body of Christ has been developed, the church has been developed, and it seems like we live, at least for us here in the United States and probably other Western places, in a place of peace. And so there's great joy in that. But I wanted to talk about this idea of joy. What is joy? And I've done this before. It's been quite a few years. But to me, joy is something that we get to receive. And if we look at, by faith, at what God has given us, we can receive it. And if we receive it, then what does that mean? It means it manifests in our lives. But until we realize that we have joy and realize that joy is something that we should desire, but not just desire, receive in such a way that we apply it to our lives. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. This is the word joy. Now it's known as a cognate, and so it means that it's like a bloodline of many many other words that relate to it. This X is pronounced like car, and it's where we get it would be pronounced kara, and so it's a noun. So does anybody know what's significant about nouns? It's a person, place, or thing. It has like a substance to it. It isn't just, you know, an ethereal idea. It's tangible. It is a noun. And so when we read through these scriptures here today, realize that we're talking about something that is. It's not something that we just necessarily do or something that we exhibit, even though there's a verb part of this word. But it's literally something that we receive and something that should be tangible to our lives. And hopefully I'll be able to communicate that. So it means, the root, to extend favor, lean towards, be favorably disposed, or properly the awareness of God's grace, favor, or joy. I think that's a key right there, the awareness. Mm-hmm. In other words, do I recognize, number one, as Christians, we're saved. Hopefully we're saved, right? We've received Christ. Are we aware of what that means to us? Or are we just, oh yeah, I'm saved. Well, being saved means that you have been set free from an old life. So if you're not aware of that, you may not live like that. If you're not aware that because you were saved, you now are free from sin. Sin doesn't have to weigh you down anymore. Sin doesn't have to be your boss. Right. God can be your boss. There's many aspects about our salvation that we need to be aware about. And the same thing with joy. We need to understand that there's something behind joy, and we need to be aware of it. You have something?
You could tell. Have any of y'all ever seen a Christian that just seems like they're carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders, like they're carrying so much that they can't even smile or I don't want to use the word happy, because a lot of times when we think joy, we think happiness, and it's two different things. But this person that I'm talking about, they haven't come, or they live like they don't have the freedom of joy in their life, of what the freedom that Jesus brings when they've received him as their Savior. They don't recognize the freedom.
Exactly.
And that's the whole thing, is we need to recognize it, but our life needs to be evidence of it.
Amen. So the etymology I can say really well, but that word for some reason it like doesn't roll off my tongue. But the idea of what is the roots of this word, there's three words that I wanted to focus on, and they're very, very close. There's other words that relate to it, but the idea of the word, it's like caro, but it's the verb of this word that we're talking about, joy. It's where you would get like rejoice or being joyful. In other words, there's an expression of doing something. It's the action. And we rejoice or joy, we're joyous because of grace. And then in the word that we're talking about right now, kara, it's joy because of grace. And then the word charis is where we get the word grace. And what is grace? Grace is a supernatural empowerment to do something that we can't do in our own strength. And so if you think about joy, joy is understanding that God's working in our lives. And the joy comes from knowing that he's working in our lives. Mm-hmm. Knowing that even when, like I love that song, even when we don't see it, he's working. Mm-hmm. Even when we don't feel it, he's working. Mm-hmm. You know, it says that he's at work in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And I believe that's all the time. Well, you mean when I'm not going to church? When I'm just sitting there, reading a book? Yeah, he's working in us. Because he's a supernatural God. He does supernatural things. And the more that we're aware that he's working in us, guess what? That work has an availability to do something in us. It's almost like this. It's like ignorance isn't always bliss. When it comes to the truths of God's word, if we don't realize what we have, we don't realize his promises, if we don't realize what he did for us on the cross, then it's almost like we can lose out mm-hmm. on being equipped with those truths.
Right. One time in our life that I can pinpoint when he embodied that in his life was during the time when we lost our son. And so that was like 24 years ago. And that was the first time that we had gone through something so tragic together as husband and wife. And even though that whole week we walked through unimaginable pain of, you know, losing a child and burying a child and all that, he was able to walk in a grace and a joy that was unexplainable. And I watched him do it. I was very pregnant with our son Tim when this happened, and I'm an emotional basket case. Anyway, no, I'm not really, but during this time I was. But I watched him walk that out. And what better time to really know who you are as a Christian than to be able to walk out such deep, deep pain with such joy? And that doesn't even compute in here. It just doesn't make any sense that could even be possible. But it was possible because of God in him. Do you know what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's like he couldn't have done it without God in him.
No, nothing I did on my own.
Not anything. I mean, he even stood up in front of 500 people and spoke at our son's funeral. And I'm like, I could no more have done that than, you know, if someone had put a gun to my back and said, you're going to get up there and you're going to talk. I couldn't have done it. But he wanted to because of the joy. Does that make sense? And so we have to want to understand this word for it to become realistic in our lives. So if after today you don't understand the joy of the Lord being the strength that you need in your life, ask God. Like, Holy Spirit teaches when no one else can.
That's right.
And ask God, teach me during this time. What better time of year to learn about the joy of the Lord than going into this holy season to really learn about the joy of God when nothing in your life looks very joyful, you know? So I want to be able to walk out like he walked it out. I want to be able to do that. And I'm learning. I'm slow to catch up, but I am trying. But I think that all of us having the desire to learn about joy is part of it. Having that desire and saying, you know, Lord, I don't care about joy, but teach me about joy. He's going to teach you. If you're really open to learning, he's going to teach you.
Yeah, one more time. It's the awareness of God's grace, favor, or joy. and joy because of his grace working in our lives.
Right.
Let's look at a scripture, and you just, did you bring, a couple of scriptures that talk about origins of joy. So this is Psalms 21, 4 through 6.
He asked life of you, you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestowed on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence.
The joy of your presence. And there's a key to, I believe, sustaining joy and remaining in joy. And that's being in God's presence. Now, some may say, well, how do I get into God's presence, you know, when I'm not at church or when I'm not listening to worship music? Well, part of the thing is, again, awareness. You're always in God's presence.
Yeah.
That's so good.
He's always with you.
Yeah.
So start there. Start there when you're in a bad state and you go, wait, I'm not here alone.
Yeah.
God is with me. Start becoming aware of his constancy. In other words, he doesn't leave you or forsake you. He doesn't leave you in a place where you're on your own. He's always with us. But you have to believe that truth. You have to believe it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is, I can communicate that to you and say, oh, that's really a good thought. Well, when it's just a thought, it hasn't become like life-giving to you. It has to become rhema. It has to become a word that you hear God speaking to you, about you, meaning for you. And sometimes you have to seek out that.
Mm-hmm.
That means, like Gay said, you may have to go back and look up these scriptures again. You may need to pull up this video on YouTube and hear it and see what were they actually talking about? You know, because sometimes it sounds like blah, 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 but it really isn't. Sometimes the truth does sound like blah, 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 because we're not ready to receive, but maybe something's stirring in your heart and you do want more of awareness of what God has done for you.
Yeah.
So there's a joy from being in his presence. Here's another scripture that kind of follows that same line. Psalm 16, 9 through 11.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol. Did I say that right?
Sheol.
Mm-hmm. Nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
In your presence is a fullness of joy. Not just joy, a fullness. That means a completeness. There's a joy that we can have that's full. Now, this is Old Testament. Now, we're getting this from David because David was almost a New Testament type of guy. Because
he
really believed deep revelations about God. I believe that's because God revealed himself to him. But he believed that even in his natural state, he could have the presence of God. That the presence of God could be with him. And because of that, he experienced the fullness of joy. Now, we know that David went through many hardships through his life. And just because we have the fullness of joy, it doesn't mean that we're not disappointed. Just because we have the fullness of joy does not mean that we're not sometimes saddened.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we can have a confidence that even though we're in a hard spot or a sad spot, that God's at work in us in that spot.
Yeah.
That we're not subject to just whatever the consequences of or the circumstances that we've been left in are going to be the results. That God has a bigger plan.
Right.
Okay. Let's go ahead and look at another one. This is Nehemiah. You actually quoted this verse. Well, you quoted part of it. Nehemiah 8:10.
Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Yeah, this is the book of Nehemiah, and they just got done reading the law, and some people were weeping because they knew they hadn't been keeping the law and all of that, and they're being reminded here to not sorrow, but to let the joy of the Lord be their strength. Now, this isn't that same Greek word, but it matches that word from the New Testament. So it's about something supernatural. It's about something that we can receive that isn't just you know, like ha 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 joy. It's right. It's strength. It's a firmness. Like you were saying, when I was going through the death of our son, death of Aaron, there was a firmness that I was able to walk in, and a joy. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like I made it so that I was feeling joy so I'd be strong. No, it was something that was supernatural. How many know that 99.9% of the things you receive from God are supernatural? I made it 0.9 because there's sometimes we receive things from each other, but even that's supernatural, really, if you think about it. The idea that we are supernatural beings is important to receive supernatural things. Right. If we think we're just earthly, you know, destined, you know, creatures, and that, you know, maybe we'll catch a glimpse of God somewhere along the way, we're not going to receive the supernatural giftings and tools that he's given us for our life here on earth. Before I knew Christ, I was a basket case because I didn't know about my future. I didn't have much hope. I was getting, you know, white, you know, whatever I was doing on the weekends to try to forget life. You know, sometimes even during the week to forget life because it was miserable. But once I received Christ, all of a sudden my eyes were open. I could see clearly about what life was. And through the years, little by little, he's chipped away at all the lies of life and the lies of the enemy. And I can see more clearly. But I'm believing to see even more clearly. See, there's areas of my life that are still fighting carnality, the natural mind. And to really be able to receive all that God has for us, we have to be more aware that we're spirit, more spirit than we are flesh.
Right.
Jesus has so much to say about this, and so does Paul. Basically says that we're aliens here on earth. Mm-hmm. You think about that. In other words, we're just strangers. We're like visitors. Once we become in Christ. Now, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like, no, earth is like, and this is it. This is all that we can see. But it's not about what we can see. It's about where our true heritage lies, where our true destiny lies. We're connected, more connected with that than we are with this right now. Even though we may be in an illusion sometime, and it looks like we're more connected with this, When we receive Christ and we become his, we're more connected with heaven than we are earth. Mm-hmm. And I know that that's hard to understand, but that's more about being spiritual and having spiritual insight. And see, you got
well, something. I remember when I used to look at Christianity, I looked at a line, like there was a line, and this side of the line was for holy, called, equipped Christians, pastors, blah, 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 blah. And on this line where I lived, I only looked across the line and watched what they did, you know, how they lived and what they did. But in God, there's no line.
Come on.
And God doesn't see a line. He just sees that we need to recognize the truth of who he is in us. Because we're never going to receive any more of him than we already have. We have fullness in us, the fullness of Christ in us. And do we live that fullness? That's where God wants us to get to if we don't. He doesn't want us looking at a line and saying, oh, I wish I could be across the line on that side. No, no line at all. We see lines, but God does not see lines. So start living like there's no line. Start living like you have purpose and you have a call. And God is equipping you because he is. What are you doing with that? What are you doing with that calling, that equipping? What are you doing with that?
That's good. All right. Philippians 4:1.
Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved.
Paul says this a couple of times, and what he communicates here in this truth is that within each other is the ability to have joy. That godly relationships that are established in Christ, that there's a joy there. I mean, he says, you are my joy. Mm-hmm. And I have to say that you are my joy. The body of Christ is my joy. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a fulfillment and a satisfaction and a contentment that comes from having Christian relationships. That's why I believe the Bible says in Hebrews to not forsake the assembly together. And even more so as we see the day approaches. Now, the day approaching, and that day when it's spoken about in the Bible, is the day of Christ, when he will be revealed. The second coming of Christ. Some people say it's the rapture of the church. However, they put them all together. But it's really about the Lord's day. And as that day approaches, it's more approaching than it was when it was written back then. Almost 2,000 years ago. The day of the Lord is approaching, and we're not to forsake that assembling together. Some people say, oh, you mean just going to church? Well, going to church is great, but it's hard to have intimate relationships at church. Yeah. It's hard to hear someone's heart at church. Maybe if you sit off the side and talk a little bit, or sit down at a chili cook-off, or at the Lord's Supper, like what we had last week, you can connect a little bit more, but how many know that you have to cultivate relationships? Yep. It takes time.
Yeah.
Eric and Nancy have been our friends for years. Friends, kids, but more than that, that's what I'm going to say. They have been joy in our lives. Right. And I think we've been joy in your life because we've received from each other. There's been an exchange. Koinonia means fellowship. Well, that's a sharing root word. It means to share. When we same word we get communion from. It's a fellowship. And so if there's joy from that, we have to make sure that we're participating in the body of Christ to receive that joy that's available to us.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to miss out on another level of joy or another dimension of his joy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Acts 13:50-52.
But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium.
Mm-hmm.
And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit.
So they were filled with joy. So it tells me that joy is something that can be a experience like the Holy Spirit. There's been different moves of the Spirit of God throughout the ages, but in the last like 20, 30 years, there's been a couple of different places that have had outpourings, and one of the signs of those outpourings is people laughing. People just like busting guts, yeah. But it's not that they're just laughing. It's when they're done with the laughing, God's done something in them. Yeah. I mean, you talk to them, it's like, they've changed from maybe just, working, a job 40 hours a week, and all of a sudden say, I want to go and go to the streets. It's like, well, who told you to do that? I don't know. I just feel that in my heart. I mean, some people have literally, after an experience like that, moved all the way over to like in China and started living. Mm-hmm. And all they knew was to go to China, mm-hmm. because of that experience. The thing is that we don't know what the Lord could possibly do if we open up ourselves. That's what we have to do, though. We have to say, Lord, I'm available. I give you permission to work in me. I let those walls down. Spirit break out. Heaven come down. Break these walls down. How many know that a lot of us have walls keeping God from doing things in our lives? Mm-hmm. Partly we're afraid of what might happen if we totally surrender. We're afraid of like, oh man, what's he going to call me to, Africa? Or the streets of Yakima and have to start dealing with the homeless? If I let my walls down, he might actually ask me to do something. And we're so afraid of that. He's got this bait and switch plan for us that if we let our walls down, that he's gonna cause us to do something that we don't want to do. That's not the way God works, number one. He wants our walls down so he can let his love fill us.
Yes.
His perfect love. You know what? When his perfect love fills us, yeah, maybe we'll do those things, but it's from a desire to do those things.
And it will be okay with
it's
that.
Not because he's wrenching our arm or twisting our arm.
Right.
Or putting words in our mouth, you know. Yeah, I can see it.
I just saw Eric kind of sit back and sit down in his seat like, oh, don't ask me to laugh out loud like that. I don't want to do it.
Well, it was spontaneous. It wasn't like, you know, and it's. I'm sure there was probably some people that were in the flesh, but it was producing something in individuals.
Right.
It happened during revivals that way, way back. The same type of thing, this outburst of joy. And I don't know if that's the kind of joy they were filled with. Very possible was that it was something, an outward sign. Oh, they were filled with joy. And so what's happening here? It's God working.
Right.
I mean, you know, don't try to classify it in such a way, say, oh yeah, that's the joy of the Lord. No, just let his joy work in you as it's supposed to work. And one day it may get you through a funeral. Another day it may get you to where you're sharing love with a neighbor. Because you have an internal joy.
Right.
And a joy that they see.
Amen.
All right. This is a scripture many of us know. Go ahead.
James 1, 2 through 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience.
So it tells me here that trials don't have to be something that we're miserable with. It tells me that we can look at them from God's point of view and account it as, in other words, add it up as joy instead of, oh, I'm miserable. Oh, things aren't going the way that I want them to go. My heart's heavy because of these circumstances. It doesn't have to be that. We can count it joy. Now, what does this mean? This means that you're now no longer looking from a natural point of view. You're looking by the Spirit. The eyes of the Lord. You're getting his perspective on the circumstances. And when you do that, you start counting it joy because you realize what the enemy's meaning for evil in my life, God intends for good. Mm-hmm. That God is working all things together in my life for good because I am called according to his purpose. He is working out in me, so I'm going to be like Jesus. And if he needs to use this circumstance for me to be more like Jesus, then amen, bring it on, and I'm going to count it as joy.
Right.
You have amen. Something? Okay, amen. All right, this is some parts from John, and this is when the disciples are facing Jesus going to the cross. And they're not quite understanding everything, but Jesus is telling them some things here that are important.
So do you want me to do 21, 22, 23, 24? Or
just do 21, 22 okay. First. Yep.
John 16, 21 and 22. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you.
That's the key right there. He was giving them a joy that no one could take from them. I believe that he's speaking this to us. Yeah. I've given you a joy, my children, that no one can take from you. This is a joy that I have provided for you. This is a joy that has been given to you from heaven. No one can take it from you. So then why isn't it active in my life? The awareness of it. Mm-hmm. Do I realize that I have God's joy? We're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and one of those fruits of the Spirit is joy. I should say one of the accompanying fruit of the Spirit. It's kind of a weird dynamic. It says there's 9 fruit of the Spirit. Uh-oh. Come.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you do.
Okay, just from my own testament, like, we've been in and out of this journey of faith, and joy is something that you have to physically activate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something that you not only can you just be aware of, but you have to decide that that's what you want to operate.
A choice.
Right. Like, yeah, it's a choice. Like, because I could still choose to feel the anxiety and weight of the situation, or I can put my forehead against Papa's like I do and choose to, even though I don't see the outcome that I want to see, but believe and hope for the things that I know that God's going to be doing, regardless as to what I'm feeling in the moment, therefore receiving hope and joy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Yes. So, no one can take this joy away from you. This is a joy that God has given you, and the world can't take it away. Isn't there a song like that?
Yep,
I think there is.
There is.
Anyway. Huh? Joy in my heart? You're singing it, yeah. Okay. John 16:23-24.
These are the next two scriptures down, and it says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full."
Don't you just love that the word just so easily and a lot of things will communicate what joy means? And here we're getting that when we're asking, when we're looking to God for something, and we're asking Him for it, and we receive it, and you guys know that we receive things by faith. We don't receive it until we get it in our hands. We receive it by faith. Mm-hmm. We thank Him for it. Then we realize that He's going to work out the details of us receiving it. But when we receive it, our joy is full. It helps our joy. It makes it so, again, it's more evident to us. So praying is a key to receiving joy. Yes. Not praying for joy, praying for anything. Ask anything in my name, right?
Right.
And what happens? When we ask, we receive, and their joy would be full. So I know He's speaking to the disciples, but it's the same for us. It works out the same for us. All right. Here's another one. But the fruit of the Spirit.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law.
I've taught on the fruit of the Spirit many times, and we have before. And the idea of the fruit, keep in mind it's singular, having all of these attributes, make it a mystery. Another place it says that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, I think truth, I'm trying to make kindness and truth. Anyway, the idea is that the fruit of the Spirit isn't necessarily things. I really believe the fruit of the Spirit is someone. It's Christ. So when we receive the fruit of the Spirit, we're receiving Christ. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we're receiving Christ. Jesus says it's expedient, it's better for you that I go away. Why? So the Holy Spirit will come. And He would be with you, but He'll also be in you. Same thing with us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, that makes us in Christ, makes us to be in Him. And when we're in Him, we have joy. We have all the other attributes. We have love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, all those different attributes are ours. But they're all based on one thing, and that's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of Christ, the indwelling of Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, where do we say when we're little kids? Of course, I didn't because I didn't go to church, but where does Jesus live? In my heart. Right?
Right.
And, you know, My Heart, Christ's Home is a book, and it's all about basically have you given Christ His whole reign and rule in your heart, which is, you know, the home of the Lord. Have we kept rooms closed, locked, and kept Him from getting in there? But the idea is that we have joy. Mm-hmm. It's been given to us. I always thought that the fruit of the Spirit is something like I have to find some way, you know. How many people have said, you got to pray for peace? They tell you not to pray for peace or patience.
Patience.
Pray for patience. That's it. But the idea is here is that we have patience. There is that long suffering or patience is given to us. But again, we have to walk it out by faith, knowing that, oh, I have love. This is an expression that I've told people. You have the love of God in you. Yeah, but I don't know how to show it to others. Well, start walking it out. And like she said, you make a choice. Lord, your love dwells in me. So I'm going to see how I can love this individual that has been very unlovely to me. In other words, they have not deserved my love. They have not earned it. They've rejected me. But I'm going to start by faith, letting God work in my life, that I see them through your eyes and show them your love. I'm going to be more aware that the love of God dwells in me. The peace of God dwells in me. The long-suffering of God dwells in me. The kindness of God dwells in me. All of the attributes of the Holy Spirit dwell in me. We've received, as you said, the fullness of God, which includes all of these. So where are they? When we're dealing with each other, like, wow, that wasn't very kind just now, brother, you know, or sister. Yeah, that was, I mean, I can't tell you how many times through the years I've had to get, you know, Christians together and say, can't you guys just get along? I mean, what do you realize what Jesus did for you? I mean, there should be a harmony and a peace in your life. There should be, if at the very least, there should be ability to say, well, I'm being wronged, but you know what? The Lord's got me. He's going to take care of it. And not wanting vengeance, you know. But have you seen that? How many times have you seen that through the year? A lot. You know, they did this to me.
Yeah.
And there is something about people doing something to you. But as believers, we can say, Lord, heal my heart from the wounds that they're trying to put on me. Mm-hmm. Let what they mean for evil and what the enemies mean for evil, let it work good in my life.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay. Okay, I've got one more verse. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're just perfect.
Romans 14, verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit.
The kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom of God? Can anybody tell me? Is it like down the street at a church that has like 2,000 right now? Is that where the king? No. Is it coming someday, the kingdom of God? We're going to be able to finally receive the kingdom of God. You know, there's a belief system out there, and then they go to a kingdom hall. And I'm not saying all the stuff bad about them. They go to a kingdom hall, and they're believing that someday they're going to be able to usher in the kingdom of God. You know, but it's not about a place Mm-mm. or a time, but it's about a person.
Right.
And that's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God's within you. So just as we receive the fruit of the Spirit, we also have the kingdom of God in us. But the kingdom of God doesn't just represent some kind of, you know, dominion where God's telling us do's and don'ts, eating and drinking, you know, don't do this, don't do that. It's about his righteousness. It's about his peace. And it's about his joy in the Holy Spirit. So I'm telling you, you have the joy of God. You can be receiving today like those shepherds did on that fateful night when they were told good tidings of great joy. What? Mm-hmm. Receive this good news that today, born in the city of David, is the Savior, Christ the Lord. And you know what? We have Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, all you have to say is, Lord, I want to receive you in my heart. Mm-hmm. That crazy pastor up there that's talking about these things that seemed like my heart was burning, but I didn't quite understand it. Just say, Lord, I want to receive you in my heart. I want to receive your life. I'm going to leave my old ways behind, and I'm going to walk in your ways. And when you do that, you can start following Christ.
Right.
When I got saved, someone came up to me. Didn't come up to me. We were sitting down at a restaurant, and he showed me a picture and showed me some diagrams and basically presented to me Jesus. He didn't ask me to receive him that day. I don't know why. But when he walked away and I went in my car and drived away, all of a sudden I realized, this is the one that I think I've been looking for. And I want to see where he goes. And where he goes, I'm going to follow. And little by little, I've been following Jesus to where I'm sitting here today. And in that way, I have received him in my heart. Even though I didn't necessarily confess the sinner's prayer that day, I said, this looks like eternal life. Or this looks like life. Life that might be better than this life I'm living right now. I'm going to start following him. And as I did, little by little, he chipped away at the brokenness and the pains and the hurts that life had brought me as a 19-year-old. And all along the way, he has been faithful to the place where he has established me in his joy. Now he's established me in his love. I have the peace of God dwelling in me. Now, do I always experience it? No, I've got to receive it and choose it. I've got to make a decision that, yes, Lord, you said that I should realize that your joy lives in me. I'm not going to let sorrow and pain and mourning be my captor anymore. I'm going to let the love of God and the peace of God and the joy of God rule and reign in my heart. The righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us joy. And Lord, your joy is the awareness that your grace, your supernatural empowerment is working in us. Even when we can't see you, even when can't hear you, even when we can't feel you, Lord, you're working in us. So Lord, right now, we yield and we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We ask, Lord, that your joy that you have given to us through the Holy Spirit, that it would become evident in our lives, and that others would recognize it, Lord, and that we would be able to say, along with those angels, joy to the world. The Lord has come, and he's come in this place. He's inhabited this vessel, and because of it, I'm not the same anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Me so I can stand and sing.
of God. Because of that, you do receive His joy. Now be more aware of it. Live in it. Realize that you don't have to let your circumstances rule your life anymore. That the Lord can be the one who rules your life and gives you peace and joy and love that passes all understanding. Have a wonderful week. Love you. Bless you. See you all men next Saturday. Christmas decorations next Sunday after church. So if you if you're up for it, we're going to put up Christmas decorations next Sunday after church. All right.